Welcome to this daily PBJ devotional. This devotional is about Acts 26. Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." Then Paul stretched out his hand and began his defense. "King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today to defend myself against all the accusations of the Jews, especially since you are acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. I beg you, therefore, to listen to me patiently. Surely all the Jews know how I have lived from my earliest childhood among my own people, and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that I lived as a Pharisee, adhering to the strictest sect of our religion. And now I stand on trial because of my hope in the promise that God made to our fathers, the promise that our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled, as they earnestly serve God day and night. It is because of this hope, O King, that I am accused by the Jews. Why would any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? So then, I too was convinced that I ought to do all I could to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and that is what I did in Jerusalem. With authority from the chief priests, I put many of the saints in prison, and when they were condemned to death, I cast my vote against them. I frequently had them punished in the synagogues, and I tried to make them blaspheme. In my raging fury against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. In this pursuit, I was on my way to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, O King, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice say to me in Hebrew, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' 'Who are you, Lord?' I asked. 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' the Lord replied. 'But get up and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen from me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those sanctified by faith in me.' So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. First, to those in Damascus and Jerusalem, then to everyone in the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, I declared that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds worthy of their repentance. For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But I have had God's help to this day, and I stand here to testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Christ would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to our people and to the Gentiles." At this stage of Paul's defense, Festus exclaimed in a loud voice, "You are insane, Paul! Your great learning is driving you to madness." But Paul answered, "I am not insane, most excellent Festus. I am speaking words of truth and sobriety. For the king knows about these matters, and I can speak freely to him. I am confident that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Can you persuade me in such a short time to become a Christian?" "Short time or long," Paul replied, "I wish to God that not only you, but all who hear me this day, may become what I am except for these chains." So the king and the governor rose, along with Bernice and those seated with them. On their way out, they said to one another, "This man has done nothing worthy of death or imprisonment." And Agrippa said to Festus, "This man could have been released if he had not appealed to Caesar. This is God's word. Our reading from Acts chapter 25, which we read last time, ended just as Paul, in prison in Caesarea, was about to speak to Festus, a Roman governor, and Agrippa, a Jewish governor slash client king, over the same area as Festus. Here in Acts 26, we read what Paul said to these men, and how the men responded. In Paul's speech, Paul followed the same pattern we've seen before in his speeches. He simply recounted his personal testimony of salvation in Christ in verses 1 through 21. Then he tied his experience to the Old Testament prophecies, as we saw in verses 22 and 23, and applied all this truth to his listeners, as we saw in verses 25 through 29. After Paul's speech, Festus and Agrippa agreed that Paul was being held and charged unjustly, we saw that in verse 31, and that Paul could have been released, as we saw in verse 32, if he hadn't already appealed to Caesar. Verse 18 of our text today contains one of the most concise descriptions of the Christian gospel and of our mission once we become Christians. That verse says this time in the NIV, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And again, that's verse 18 from the NIV. Let's unpack this powerful verse. Remember that Jesus is the one speaking these words according to verse 15. First, Paul was sent to open their eyes. And this refers, of course, to spiritual vision. It's a way of describing one who understands the truthfulness of the gospel. This is a reference to the doctrine we call regeneration, the giving of spiritual life to the spiritually dead. It is the only way anyone ever becomes a Christian. Unbelievers may understand the facts of the gospel because they're very simple. God, sin, Christ, faith, and repentance. So unbelievers can understand that. But until God opens their eyes, spiritually speaking, they will not and cannot even believe in it. So becoming a Christian is, first and foremost, a spiritual act that God unilaterally does for a sinner that he has chosen to save. Next, after a person has his or her eyes open, he or she turns from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Again, that's a quote from this verse. This turning is what we call the doctrine of repentance. Repentance isn't about being sorry for sin, although sorrow often accompanies repentance. No, repentance is a change of mind, not necessarily great sorrow. Once God opens a person's eyes, that person chooses to think differently about everything spiritual: God, himself, his sin, his destiny, and so on. At this very moment, the unbeliever is extracted from the power of Satan, as the verse says, by God himself. This makes a person want to follow God and to begin following him instead of living obediently to Satan's wicked ways, which we do naturally until we are saved. The result, and the word "so that" in our verse is how we get this, but the result of this spiritual transformation described in verse 18 is, here's another quote from verse 18, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. This is the point at which the blood of Christ, his sacrifice as our substitute, is applied to the sinner by God. God credits the person who believes the gospel message with the perfect obedience of Christ. And then he treats us as if we are actually perfectly obedient, even though we are still sinners. In addition to receiving the forgiveness of sins Jesus gave the person described in this verse, also a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me, that is in Jesus. And the word sanctified means set apart. Once we receive all of this spiritual work and this spiritual transformation, we then have a place. This refers to our new state of belonging to God, and a new desire to wait for God's kingdom to arrive when Christ returns. And how does a person get set apart, get sanctified like this? Well, verse 18 says, by faith in me, that is in Jesus. Faith in God's word sets us apart for Christ. Now we belong to him and to his mission. This is how a person becomes a Christian. It seems unlikely, but it's possible that one of you watching or listening to this podcast right now is not yet a Christian. If so, let me talk to you at this moment. Do you believe that Jesus died for you and for your sins? Have you received the free gift of eternal life? That's a vital question that every person needs to consider and needs to come to the place of faith about. And so if you're not a Christian, let me encourage you. Look to God in faith. Believe that Christ died for your sins. And then pray to him, call to him, asking him to forgive you your sins, to make you a follower of Jesus Christ. So do that if you're not a Christian now. And I'll see you next time. May God bless you. Hope you have a great day today.